You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Mark chapter number 2, and the Bible talks about a specific event that I'd like to mention here this morning and give you a title here in just a moment. But before I do, I'd just like to preface it with an illustration. One night, a house caught on fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof of the house. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms calling to his son, "Jump, I'll catch you." The father knew that the only way that the child was going to survive was if he jumped off of that roof. But there was a problem that took place here. When the boy arrived at that roof, all that he could see was the flames, and all that he could see was darkness, and he couldn't see his father down below. The father began yelling, "Jump! I'll catch you!" But the boy protested, "Daddy, I can't see you." And through these protests, the father eventually replied, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." And let me just emphasize here this morning, no matter what difficulty you may be facing, God sees you. God knows the circumstances that you're facing, and he can help and he will help. Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And again he, being Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." Verse number 2, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Verse number 5, the Bible says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." We go through a situation where some are doubting and some are questioning what God has done, but then we arrive in verse number 10. The Bible says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed." And watch this, what did they do as a result? They glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." I'd like to give us a message here this morning on the missing ingredient. The missing ingredient. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. I pray that you would bless the time that we have here as we study, as we examine the Word of God. I pray that you'd speak to hearts through the message. I pray that you would help me to have wisdom as I preach, to say the things that I should say, to abstain from saying anything that I ought to say. I pray that at the end we'd be challenged and encouraged from your Word, for we ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. The missing ingredient. If you've been around Victory Baptist Church for any length of time, you've probably heard that one of my many weaknesses is chocolate chip cookies. And, you know, there's been many folks who have given to this chocolate chip cookie fund, if you will. And, you know, we have our Thanksgiving preaching and pie social, and there's chocolate chip cookies that I enjoy there. But you know what? I've had many batches of chocolate chip cookies. And what's interesting is most of them are different than each other. And it's like, well, how does that happen, right? You have the store-bought, and then you have the homemade, and you can decipher which one that you enjoy better. I guess it depends on who's making it, amen? But nonetheless, with a chocolate chip cookies, when you make those, generally you follow some instructions, right? And there's a recipe that somebody has had, and you may say, well, I like this recipe better than another one, and what are the ingredients in that recipe? Well, through the time, there's been situations that I faced where somebody has substituted a main ingredient for something else. And sometimes those substitutions were not substitutions that should be made. Many years ago in our house, I smelled chocolate chip cookies cooking in the oven. And I won't declare who this was individually. And but many, a long time ago, nothing like this happens any recently. But I was smelling the cookies, and I go and prepare my milk. I'm one of those folks who's got the milk, and you got to dip. You know, to me, it's like right out of the oven. They're so hot, you can't touch them, but you drop them in the milk. That cools them off just a little bit, and then you eat them. Like, that's the only way to eat them. That's how I like them. And so you've got these cookies. They come out of the oven. They smell good. They look good. And I'm like, here we go. And I grab one off. I dipped it in the milk, and I put it in my mouth and immediately realized that a substitution was made for an ingredient that most likely was not meant to take place. You know, this ingredient that was substituted was sugar. And arguably, it was something that looked like sugar that was not sugar. And you can guess what that was. That was salt. And it vastly changed. As a matter of fact, I didn't partake in any of the other chocolate chip cookies that were there. Now, those cookies looked really good. And those cookies were warm, and the chocolate chips were there, and the texture looked great. But I didn't partake of any more because of the substitution of the ingredient. You say, well, why are you talking about chocolate chip cookies or missing ingredients? You know what? I believe that one of the missing ingredients in the Christian life in today's day and age is what we're going to talk about is one word. It's the word faith. The Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, he healed him. But what is faith? And how is it missing in a lot of our lives as a missing ingredient? As a matter of fact, I would say that missing ingredient of faith is often substituted for another ingredient that's the opposite of faith. You know, recently, Brother Daniel and I traveled to Florida, and we were recruiting for our school. And when we were there, we were talking about our upcoming messages or thoughts or what God had done in our Bible reading and in our lives. And I told him that this is the direction that I thought that I was heading. And he showed me a little clip that I thought was accurate. And in this clip, somebody was asking, what is the opposite of faith? And I think it's important when you study something to realize not only what it is, but what is the opposite of that. And I was asking in our household even a couple days ago, what is the opposite of faith? And a lot of words came to mind. One of the resounding words that came to mind was this word, unbelief. Another word that came up was fear. And thinking of, okay, well, what is faith? Faith is believing, so the opposite of that is unbelieving. However, the opposite of faith, this individual said that I'd agree with, the opposite of faith is not unbelief. The opposite of faith is seeing. You say, hey, well, what does the Bible say about faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I believe that the opposite of faith is seeing. So you're saying, hey, okay, if we're looking at a missing ingredient in the Christian's life today and you're thinking of, well, it's faith, okay, well, what is the opposite of faith and what do we substitute or how do we live our lives that would have that being a missing ingredient? We live by sight. We live by understanding, here's what's taking place and here's my goals and here's what I'm going to do, and we often leave faith out of the picture. As a matter of fact, I'm one that likes to plan and prepare things. I don't like to, you know, when I was in college and we had a paper that was due, you had some individuals that were in college and they're like, okay, you come in August and it's like this paper's due in December and so I'll work on it. You know, if it's due December 18th, then I'm going to work on it December 19th. And they'd pull out these, you know, or December 17th, you know, and how many points is it? When they're asking in class, when you give students assignments and they're already asking, how much is it if it's late? Then you know that you have a problem, right? But I'd start working on it right away and start working through. Time goes on. I know there's some folks that I just went down in your mind. You're like, I look down on him now if he's one of those people. But I don't like to do things last minute. As a matter of fact, when I'm planning and preparing, I like to see what is option A, right? And if option A doesn't work out, what is my response then? And then I've got option B and option C so that when I'm facing something that's like, hey, I can see what is taking place here. And again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be prepared in life. I'm not saying that every day you just, you know, just, hey, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. I'm not indicating that at all, but I'm just talking about faith in our lives. What evidence is there in your life that you're living by faith? You know, the Bible makes a few statements. The just shall live by faith. You know, there's another statement that I think is more imperative and more declarative, and it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we don't have faith as an ingredient in our life, we do not have the ability to please God, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. I'd like to give you just a few points from this context of Scripture of where I believe that faith was evidenced in these individuals' lives. And I believe that if we can apply these to our lives, we can live a life that's lived by faith and thus please God. But here's a question for you. Do you believe that God can? Because that's a necessary ingredient to say, hey, I believe that God is on the throne, that God is the great physician, that any situation that happens, that any situation that arrives, that God can accomplish what he wants to accomplish. God can do the impossible, amen? But we need to believe that before we're doing it. I think it's important to know where we're putting our faith, right? I didn't see anyone that came in the service today for the 11 o'clock or for the 10 o'clock service. I didn't see anyone, and I looked around for people that came into Sunday school, that when you went up to your pew, you examined it, right? And you looked around, and you were like, okay, it looks sturdy, it looks okay, and you know, you go and you maybe put a little bit of weight on it, or here's a great one, you watch your wife sit down first, and then you realize, okay, well, if it's good for her, then it's going to be good for me, right? But that's sometimes how we live the Christian life. We kind of examine, is this thing going to work out? Hey, let's have others do it, right? And let's share the burden with others and see if it works out for them, and if it works out for them, then hey, then I'll jump in as well. And you've got those people even maybe with the swimming pool or with the lake, and they're like, hey, I'm not going to be the first one, and I want to make sure that they survive, that it's not, you know, thermal temperatures, and they're going to do okay, and then I'll jump in as well. But let me just encourage you to jump in. The water's fine. Where do you put your faith? In April 1988, the Evening News reported on a photographer who was a skydiver. He had jumped from a plane along with numerous other skydivers and filmed the group as they fell and opened their parachutes. On the film shown on the telecast as the final skydiver opened his chute, the picture went berserk. The announcer reported that the cameraman had fallen to his death, having jumped out of the plane without a parachute. It wasn't until he reached for the absent ripcord that he realized he was free-falling without a parachute. Until that point, the jump probably seemed exciting and fun, but tragically, he had acted with thoughtless haste and deadly foolishness. Nothing could save him, for his faith was in a parachute that he never put on. Faith in anything but an all-sufficient God can be just as tragic spiritually. Only with faith in Jesus Christ dare we step into the dangerous excitements of life. You know, where we place our faith is important. Number one, I believe that faith demonstrated, or the evidence of faith in this particular portion of Scripture. Number one, I believe that faith was evidenced by them having open eyes. You say, well, how does open eyes, you're saying, hey, look, faith is believing without seeing, so how does open eyes, what's in a different context? Their eyes were open to the needs of others. You see, as Christian, if we believe that God can, if we believe that God can solve marriage problems, if we believe that God can solve financial difficulties, if we believe that God can heal us physically as well as spiritually, then all of a sudden our eyes are open to the problems of others to say, hey, I know the solution. Hey, I know that God can, because look what he did in my life. And our eyes become open to others so that we can lead them to that same salvation that we have. Their eyes were open. Our eyes open to the needs of others today. One of the main goals that we have in life, as Jesus literally ascended into heaven, he said this command, ye shall be witnesses unto me. You see, in this world, we all have a problem. And that problem is a sin nature that we're born with. And the consequence for that sin nature is that we have to spend eternity in a place called hell. But you know what? We have the solution. And by the way, we not only have the solution, we have the opportunity and we have the freedom and we have the privilege to tell others about that solution. But what are we doing with it here today? You know, I have a love-hate relationship with social media. There's not a lot of students that come into the office. There's not a lot of parents that come to my office and tell me about how social media has benefited their child, or this phone has benefited their child and done great things and helped them to do great things for God and make spiritual decisions. But I've seen a lot of the opposite. But here's the deal. We live in a generation where you can literally reach people across the globe, across the United States that you've never met with the positive influence and the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ to magnify his name and bring glory and honor to him through an avenue. But the question is, what are we using it for? Are our eyes open to the needs of others? How is that evidenced by telling others about him? You know, we have this program that we meet 6 o'clock, Brother David said, on Tuesday nights, that we get together and go out and encourage one each other and pass out invitations to church and witness and bring folks to church. And what about the people that we can't reach? We have missionaries, right, that we support. We can give financially to missionaries. Brother Nathan and bringing the videos to show the needs of others. And why is that so important? So that people can see the need. So that our eyes would be open to realize that, hey, our goal here in this life is to reach others for the cause of Christ. What happened when these individuals' eyes were open? Look at verse number 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. You know, I find it interesting that they started out with 4. And I don't know if they picked up some people along the way. But here's the deal. You know what? There are some needs that Victory Baptist Church has. And those needs can't be met with just the staff. You know, sometimes it's like, hey, well, the staff can do this or the staff can do that. We could not have what we have today. We couldn't have a Christian school or a radio station or Sunday school or junior church or nurseries if we didn't have the help of the members of Victory Baptist Church. And I praise the Lord for the army of workers that we have here. But you know what? There was a difficult time that was going to arise that they needed some individuals who saw the need, who said, hey, you know what? Not only do I see the need, I'm going to do something about it. And I don't know what stage you are right now with your eyes being open. And maybe you're like, hey, we open our eyes and we see the need, and that's great. And they could have went to that individual and said, hey, you're paralyzed, but here's some great news. Jesus is over here in this house. And if you can get over to him somehow, you can be healed. Hey, God can heal you. God can do something. And then you know what they did? They washed their hands and walked away. And I feel like that's not what they did, but I feel like that's sometimes how we react as Christians. If I can just tell them where to go, then my responsibility is relieved. But that's not the case. God has called us to do so much more. They not only saw the need, they did something about it. They carried him. They picked him up and said, hey, you know what? We know that God can heal. They believed, they had faith, so much so that we said, we're going to carry other people to him. And I'm not advocating that we need to go around Roanoke Rapids and find somebody that needs Jesus and say, hey, let's carry this guy who's not paralyzed and get him to church because he really needs Jesus. Amen. But at the same time, what are we doing to compel them to come? Is there anything in our lives that they've seen that's evidence to say, hey, they want something that you have, that they don't have? The Bible says in Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There's a song that says, every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries that only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? You know, I think we go to so many different avenues and seek so many different solutions that are not even biblical because we're looking for a solution to the problems that we have, whereas Jesus is the only solution. Number one, I see faith evidenced by their open eyes. Number two, I see faith evidenced by overcoming obstacles. Overcoming obstacles. In verse number 3, the Bible says that they were born of 4. And verse number 4, the Bible says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. So automatically you have individuals who saw the need. That's great. Hey, you know what? This guy needs Jesus' help. And by the way, Jesus can. But they not only saw the need, they did something about it. They picked him up and began carrying him. But as soon as they did, they realized all of a sudden there's an obstacle that's in the way. And let me say this emphatically. If you do anything for God, if we're doing anything for God today, there's going to be obstacles along the way. Unless we think like, hey, here I am trying to do what's right, and I'm in church, and I'm reading my Bible, and when I'm praying, and yet trouble still comes, so let me just throw it all away. Let's just keep going because of faith. There were obstacles that they faced, and they could have went to that house and saw the press and saw the multitudes when Jesus was there, and they could have looked down at him and said, hey, you need to get into the house, and we tried to help you, and I did the best that I can. But you know what? There's no way that we can get in. And so they put him down and walk away. And I feel like in my life and in the average Christian's life, that's how we deal with a lot of difficulties. Well, I did my best. I tried. You ever heard that before? Hey, I did what I could. Well, you know what? God doesn't call us to do what we can. God calls us to do great things because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If it was about our own power or our own ability, then you know what? God wouldn't be able to get the glory. But we know that God can. If we believe that God can, then our eyes should be open to the needs of others, and then we should do something about it. And don't stop when the obstacles come. And by the way, it wasn't just one obstacle. There's another obstacle that they face here. So it would have been tragic, just one. And they got to the press and they said, hey, we'll move out of the way, right? And they start barreling through, but they didn't do that. The Bible says, next it says here, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to deceive them, no, not much about the door. And verse number 4, and they could not come nigh unto them for the press. But then watch this. They uncovered the roof. You know, there's an understood obstacle that it doesn't say here, but in order to uncover the roof and lower somebody in, you have to do what first? You have to get onto the roof, right? What would it have been if only one individual saw the need and said, hey, I need help with this need. Hey, you know what? This guy needs Jesus. But there was only one. You know, the Bible says, I sought for a man among them, but I found none. You know, I wonder who it is that would say, hey, I'm willing to jump in and be a help to others at Victory Baptist Church for the cause of reaching others with the gospel. There's many ways that we can do that with our time and with our talents and with our treasure, and those can be obstacles. You say, well, I don't have the time. Well, you know what? We have time to do what we make in our priority list. You say, well, I don't have the talents. I don't have the abilities. Well, you know, God will equip you to do exactly what he calls you to do. Well, I don't have the treasure. I don't have the finances. Well, that's okay. I know somebody who gave a mite that God blessed and used and pointed out more than others who gave a lot. But you know what we can do? We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And you know what? They came there, and there was four individuals, though, because those four individuals who were called, there was a task that was had that they were going to need them for. And I don't know what that was like, if one got on the roof or two got out the roof and grabbed his hands and the other one pushed him out. I don't know what it looked like, but you know what? It took four to get him up there. Would there be four in Victory Baptist Church that would say, hey, you know what, I'm not going to just going to see the need, but I'm going to overcome the obstacles? That when we see Satan working, when we see trials, when we see things happening, that we're saying, hey, instead of criticizing, instead of sitting back and say, well, I knew it wasn't going to work out, that we say, hey, let me pull my sleeves up and let me get involved. Oh, there's some help. You guys need some help with this situation. Let me help out. And I realize I'm preaching to the choir. We have an army of workers here, but here's the question. What are you doing? And what can you do more of? Let me encourage you. How did faith, how was it evidenced? Number one, their eyes were open. Number two, they overcame obstacles. You know, sometimes in life, I think we can use the phrase, no good deed goes unpunished. As a evidence for why we stop doing what we're doing. We're like, hey, well, I tried, I did all these things, and it didn't work out, so you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore. What he commands you to do, he'll equip you to do. Why were their eyes open to the needs of others? Why did they persevere in spite of obstacles? I believe it's one word, the word faith. When Jesus saw them lower him through that roof, he looked at them, and he didn't praise their efforts. He didn't say, hey, you guys did such a great job. You carried him. There were struggles that took place. You uncovered the roof. You did all these things. He didn't praise their efforts. What did he praise? Their faith. He looked at them and said, hey, you believed. And you know what? You acted upon that belief. And as a result of that, what happened? What were the results of this? You know, at number three, I just like to say, how was faith evidenced? Their optimism. Their optimism. And you say, well, what is that? The Bible says in verse number 5, when he saw their faith. Do you believe that God can? Do you believe that God's in control? Do you believe that your life right now is a direct result of God's blessing and God's mercy? You know, we hear tragedies that happen on a regular basis, and I make the statement on a fairly regular basis that if it wasn't for the grace of God, that would be me. You know, God's grace and God's mercy, and that he gets the glory, he gets the honor, that it's nothing of myself. But you know what? They're optimistic. They believe that God could. What helped them bring this individual to Jesus, regardless of the problem, regardless of the obstacles, was their faith. How is your faith today? Is it all based on sight? To say, hey, you know what? We've got these projects. We've got things going on at the church, or maybe financially. The Bible commands us to give, but at the end of the month, you know what? It doesn't really work out that way. We're living by sight. And by the way, God has commanded that if we give, that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. If we believe that, then you know what? We'll demonstrate faith. Do you believe that God can heal the problems that people face today? Do you believe that God can overcome the obstacles? The Bible says, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? What is faith? Believing without seeing. How are we living our Christian lives today? Maybe there's an individual that you're like, hey, you know what? I'm not sure if they'll ever get saved. Well, don't stop. Help pray that our eyes will be open to see things through the lens that God wants us to see things. Pray that when the obstacles come, that we'll overcome those obstacles with faith. And you know what? Remain optimistic. You know what? God is still on the throne. No matter what the news says today, no matter what news the paper says tomorrow, guess what? When I die, I'm going to heaven. When I go to heaven, there's no more sorrow and no more pain and no more crying. And if we're saved here today, this is the only hell that we'll ever experience. And you know what? Just for that alone, the fact that I woke up today is reason to give God praise and give God glory that he's on the throne today. But how are we living? If somebody asks you today, how are you doing? Well, under the circumstances, that's not living by faith. Because God can work any situation for good. And I don't mean to minimize what people are dealing with, but I will magnify our God, and that God can give us the strength and the help to deal with any situation that comes. The African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. Why is that? Because the animals will not jump if they can't see where their feet are going to land. I wonder how much of that applies to us as Christians in today's day and age. We have the opportunity to do the impossible with God's help. But you know what? With a little bit of doubt, with a little bit of obstacles, with a little bit of things that the devil uses to throw in our path, we're largely just stuck doing what we can do with our power and with our might and not able to accomplish the impossible. I believe that God has great things planned, not only individually, but collectively. Just this group alone in this church, what we can accomplish with the cause of Christ. But will we live by faith to allow us to do that? Pray that faith will open our eyes to see the needs of others. Faith evidenced by overcoming obstacles and being optimistic. You know what? If we don't believe that God can, how is a lost world ever going to believe that God can? I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Then the first step of faith is believing that God can save you. There's a time and a place. It's not, hey, look, I do that every day. That's not by faith. It's one time, September 18th, 1992. I was a young and 11 years old, and somebody shared with me the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And on that day, I trusted Christ as my Savior. What happened after that? I got baptized. What happened after that? I joined the church. What happened after that is service. And where are you at? Maybe you're on the road and you say, I've never been saved. Then today is the day of salvation. Hey, maybe you're saved, you've not been baptized, then it's time to take the next step of faith and grow in our Christian lives and make that decision to get baptized. Maybe it's, hey, I've been saved, I've been baptized, but I need to join the church. Then let's take that next step. You say, hey, I'm a member of the church. Well, what's next? It's time to get involved and it's time to serve. But there will be obstacles. But you know what? Are we living by faith? The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.